one of the guys in my group always talks about the opposite of shame is vulnerability. And we as guys always struggle with vulnerability. And I think doubly so when it comes to our spouses, because we're supposed to be that rock, right? That impenetrable foundation of the household. And, you know, oftentimes that can result in some guys completely closing themselves off emotionally, so they can't have those conversations with their wives.
Sure.
Which elongates those seasons of loneliness way past what they should be.
Yeah. All right, welcome back to another Uncommon Podcast. Mm-hmm. I am TJ.
I am Joshua.
And we are still without internet. So we are going through our notes. Actually, it's a great time because this gives us, it helps us pause and say, well, let's just record several in a row. That's why you see the same attire. We don't wear this every day. We're just shooting a bunch of podcasts.
This is not going out and doing podcast clothes.
This is a podcast shirt. So we're talking about marriage through the seasons. Now, you guys been married for 5 years?
We hit 6 years this past March.
6 years this past March, okay. So Mom and I, we, let's see, now we've gotten into the numbers that, like, oof.
See, we lucked out. We got married in 2020. So I just, whatever number it is, I just
Well, we got married in 1990.
Yeah.
So 2010, 20, it's 36 years.
Right, because your anniversary was
February 2nd.
Right, yeah, because that was the seconds.
Right, so 36 years. And then we have friends that have hit 50 and a plus. And I would like to say that for all those who are in the 6 years, that it gets easier. It just gets different.
Yeah.
Right? Communication gets different. You are used to each other on a level that, you know, you mind passing that salt and sugar? You didn't have to do that. What are you talking about?
Why'd you shift it that tone of voice? I don't appreciate that.
Right. And then it's like, you know, you can read someone's face and you know what they're going to say and that kind of stuff. And so, but what is different is seasons of marriage, of like, obviously, the honeymoon phase. They call it the 7-year itch, like, you know, oh, goodness. So is this us forever, you know, kind of thing. And then you got friendship, and then you got, you know, like, maybe kids, and then career, and your grandkids, and retirement, all that kind of stuff. And so have you found, we always do this with vacations, high lows. If you've had a high-low in your marriage?
It's funny because I feel like the longer you're married, that changes, right? Like the idea of like when Heather was going through her health stuff, that was probably a very low point for us. Because that was just like a lot of unanswered questions, not sure what the next steps were.
Sure.
You know, she quit her job because there's just a lot going on. Like that was probably like the hardest point because it was a combination of like not being able to help her in any capacity. You know, financially, we were down to one income during COVID. That was like really hard. The high point, I'd say now for us, has been really, really great for us because she's gotten to a point where health problems are minimum, if not entirely gone.
Good.
You know, mentally she is light years different than she was a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's funny, we have conversations, but like, all right, because we've known each other for almost a decade. Because we were friends first, and we dated for a year, we were engaged for a year, and we've been married for six. So, you know, we're close to a decade, which is a third of my life, which is an insane statement to say. So we often have try to have conversations like, all right, so what do I know about you? You got anything? Because I probably know most of this stuff. Right. And it's funny because, like, she'll say something to me like, you know, we collect records or whatever, and she was like, yeah, I love Imagine Dragons. And I was like, I've never heard you say the name Imagine Dragons around me. Or more recently, Bastille. He's the one who did the Pompeii song. And you probably recognize the song.
Okay.
And she's like, oh, I love him. I'm just like, all right. I think we're throwing the word love around a little too loosely. You haven't mentioned like, their name to me before.
You have mentioned that often, you know, like once a week to right. say, I love New Orleans, you yeah. know, so.
But I mean, I think that changes. I think, let me rephrase that. The low points don't change very often, unless something catastrophic happens. I think the sure. high points change throughout the time sure, kind sure. of thing. Because, you know, when we got our house, that was a really high point for us. Right now, I think Heather is blossoming into this person that is amazing to see her start to really come into her own and, you know, start making friendships and really, like, thrive. That I didn't see that before when she was so homebodied with her health and all that kind right. of stuff. But I mean, I'm sure like when we have kids or, you know, Heather wants to go to Scotland and all these places, like other things that, you know, those will be the high points.
But sure, yeah.
I do think it's interesting that we talk about seasons where it's like the honeymoon season, that kind of stuff. And those are kind of like the grand scale seasons.
Sure.
Because I think we've done a podcast before on the roommate season and how, you know, we attribute all these different titles and names to these seasons. And it almost makes it feel like it's inevitable a little bit. You know, it's like, you know, hey, you're in the roommate season or the honeymoon season or whatever. And it's almost like, well, I won't be in that season. Can I? How long does this season run for?
Right. We get used to, you know, the old shoe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love you too. You know, that kind of thing. We were holding hands at church, walking. And this is my, who knew us for a long, long time. And she's like, I think it's so great that you guys still hold hands. And when she said it, I said, well, we're still in that honeymoon phase. We're just about out of it. And she's like, oh, get out of here, both of you, kind of thing. Yeah, so Mom and I met in fifth grade. And so we've been in each other's lives since the age of...
I'm terrible at these. I never know the
age. I want to say about 8 or 9. Almost like a Forrest Gump type situation. And so I can't remember a time when I didn't know her. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, and there's been definitely highs and lows. I mean, just birth of you guys, mm-hmm. miscarriages, Katrina, our wedding, the business, the grandkids, mm-hmm. all the stuff that you go through. I think that everyone goes through seasons. Your season is a little bit different, mm-hmm. whether it be health, finances, whatever, you know. But I thought it was really interesting that, so we're Gen X, right? Proud mm-hmm. to be Gen X.
Wow. X-Force.
That's right, X-Force. If you'd asked me back then, people who were together when we graduated, I'm like, then you're going to make it? No, this is a high school thing. No, of course not. I knew I was marrying Mom. Mm-hmm. It was just a matter of time before I wore her down. Wore her slap down. No. But to my surprise, a lot of couples from our high school are still together to this day. Mm. It is incredible. It's so unusual to see that.
Yeah.
And then we have like our mentors. They've been married over 50 years. And you get to see that some marriages, they're there because there's no way I can start over again. There's no way I'm going to start over again, right?
I'm here to spite you.
I'm here with you so you can take the trash out because I don't like doing that kind of thing. You know, some that are like, I was teasing Mom. I'm like, I wish we could have gotten married sooner. And we're talking with some friends and they're like, how old were you when you got married? I said, 21. He's like, well, how much younger do you even want him to be? I'm like, I don't know, maybe 10. He's like, 10? I'm like, 9, maybe, you know? Whatever the state law is in New Orleans, it's probably pretty low. Being exposed to other couples, I think, is a great thing because it'll help put your marriage in a little bit of perspective. Mm-hmm. You can't hide a bad marriage.
No.
You run across a bad marriage, it is unmistakable. You're like, how are these two together still?
How are you not on the 5 o'clock news having killed him?
Or, oh, so you're each other's punishment. I get it, kind of thing. Or it's hard to even hide a great marriage because it just kind of oozes out. You're like, I just love how they're all together, kind of thing. And so I say that because there's going to be times, maybe windows of, you know, maybe the kid years, the business years, the health years. When you get about 40, that check engine light comes on. And you're like,
everything's squeaking.
Everything is squeaking. You're kind of like an old Buick. We wake up in the morning, you got to sit on the side of the bed and kind of...
Cold start.
Got to rock this thing up. And then there's times when, like, you know, well, what do we do? Like, empty nest? Or even when they retire.
Right.
And so we have quite a few friends that are already retired. Some who are... They're just... got retirement tattooed across their face. They're just like so ready for it. Some just happened. They're super happy. You know, some they're like, you know, I retired 3 months ago. I don't know what day it is. I don't know where I am most of the time. Like, there was this meme. It was asking this lady what day it was. Mm. And it says, what is it like to be retired? And it was like a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah.
It said, Monday, Tuesday, Saturday, 1982. She had no clue. Like, I don't know what day it is. And so, like, we all go through these seasons, and I think the consistent piece, if you can keep God in the center of your marriage throughout these seasons, I think you will get the most out of it because He'll bless all those seasons.
Yeah, I always heard the analogy was, you know, when both of you move towards the Lord, you move closer to Him, but also closer to each other.
Right, that pyramid thing.
Yeah. And I think it's also very good to have mentors and mentorees that you can kind of talk to who've been through those seasons.
Sure.
I have a friend who's gotten pretty serious with his girlfriend that he's been praying for someone for a while now.
Yeah.
And now he's in that stage. And it's funny, his brother's married, and he's been married for a little bit, and he goes to him. And he had something happen. It's funny because it's a dating thing, right? Like dating and marriage, it's like it's different. It's like high school and college, right?
Right. Part time job, full time job.
Right. And so the worries are so different, right? And so he told me something happened, and he called his brother about it, told him the scenario. His brother laughed at him and said, "Okay, well, it's gonna be fine. Don't worry about it. Just wait till you get to this point." And then he called me. He told me the same exact story. I laughed at him. And he's like, "Y'all got to quit laughing at me. All these married fools laughing at me." And so it's funny to see someone behind you going through some of this stuff. Because you get like, you almost feel like that seasoned veteran of like, "I've been through that. It's fine." You know, it feels insurmountable in these moments. And it's going to feel that way.
Right.
Trust me, the mountain gets bigger. As soon as you get to the top of this one,
yeah,
that one you can't even see the top of down that way.
That's another mountain?
Right. So, you know, it's helpful to have someone who's in front of you and behind you, to them to pour into you and you to pour into them, kind of thing. Because then it helps you not feel so alone, right? I mean, it's one thing to go through these seasons because sometimes you're going through the season with your spouse, and maybe you are in the roommate season, and that might be a difficult conversation to have with your spouse. But it may be easier to have that with your mentor of like, "Man, I just don't know what to do right now." And they can share some wisdom kind of thing.
Right.
Because sometimes it's harder to have that conversation internally when both of you are struggling through that.
Right. And I mean, marriage counseling. This is some channel or some show that's a marriage counsel. I don't know how it ran across my timeline.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
It's a lady, and they're always interviewing
someone. She's awful.
crazy people. And the comments are hysterical. You know, yeah. I'm not even married to him. I want to be divorced. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting another godly couple mm-hmm. that you can bounce things off of, or even just like, you know, like talk about that. And they're like, hey, it's okay. It's going to be okay. Yeah. Yeah, we went through something like that there. We did this here. Or, you know, it's just a short period of time that's going to be like that. Or at least helps put it in perspective.
Because right. Reassurance.
Many times that when we're going through something like that there, we think it is monumental. No one knows mm-hmm. what I'm going through.
Yep. I was reminded of the scene in Scrubs when Carla's talking to Elliot and what the boyfriend. And she's like, you think you're different? Everyone goes through problems. And the boyfriend goes, how dare you? Our love is different. And she's like, you're not special. And he's like, how dare you?
You ain't special. Yeah. And I think that, you know, obviously we can apply that to seasons and I'll walk with Christ. Mm. But, you know, I think that if you were to keep God in the center of your marriage, I think there's a high percentage, like in the high 90s, that whatever you go through, there's going to be, look, you know, lock arms and mm-hmm. go through it together.
Right.
Versus if you don't keep God at the center of that, mm-hmm. or if you don't know God at all. And I see marriages like that, and we leave that situation. Sometimes we'll say, I don't know how they're still together. Mm-hmm. Or you hear them talk about, they spend so much time apart. And you're like, oh, well, that's why you're together, because you're never together.
Right.
I mean, you might eat at the same dinner table, sleep in the same bed. I'm out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go do this. I got this hobby. I'm going to go do that. And it's a dangerous thing. You want to have something, you know, have a hobby? Great. Get together with the guys? Great. Make sure you're investing in your marriage when you should, because that roommate season, man, it could turn into a very lonely time period for both of you.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this stems from, you know, when you first got married, you first started dating, what kind of conversations you had to kind of set the tone. Because if you were of the mindset of, like, I don't want to have any hard conversations with her that's going to ruin our relationship or whatever, then you're going to set the idea that, well, you'll never have any difficult conversation. Or, you know, like, one of the guys in my group always talks about the opposite of shame is vulnerability. Mm. And we as guys always struggle with vulnerability. And I think doubly so when it comes to our spouses, because we're supposed to be that rock, right? That impenetrable foundation of the household. And, you know, oftentimes that can result in some guys completely closing themselves off emotionally, so they can't have those conversations with their wives.
Sure.
Which elongates those seasons of loneliness way past what they should be.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, sometimes we've found that the best conversations were prompted by doing marriage studies together, because
100%.
It wasn't so much, hey, I'm asking you a question. It's the book's asking us both a question.
Correct.
And it's almost like that third person is prompting the conversation. And it helps, you know, facilitate a little bit. So, you know, I mean, I know many couples that have never done a marriage study together, and it shows.
That's shocking. Well, yeah, I'm going to say it should show. It's shocking you hear that, because if you think your marriage is good enough how it is without being in the Word, doing a marriage study that is God-focused, you're playing with fire.
Yeah.
And we had a person who, the husband passed away, and while obviously there was love there, but in their marriage, you can see that there was just distance.
Yeah.
They were definitely 100% textbook roommates. And when the husband passed away, you could just see that while she probably missed him to a degree, she just missed a companion.
Mm-hmm. Just a warm body in the
99%
house.
Is, now I'm just lonely. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you spend a lot of time together? No, well, not really. He'd be in the back watching TV, and I'd be in my room watching TV or shopping or whatever. And so when did you spend time together? We ate dinner together. You know that. We slept in the same bed and that kind of thing. But I just miss them so much. You know, like it doesn't seem like you kind of had a mm-hmm. close tie throughout your marriage. And so I would highly recommend that if whether you're just starting a couple years, 20 years, 50, 75 years into it, one, never stop working on it.
Yeah.
Two, keep God at the center of that. And don't take that for granted. That's a thing that you should be constantly evolving, because your situation is constantly going to be changing. So you adapting to that change together is much easier.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait to adapt to retirement with mom when that happens. So
good luck.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank our sponsors this week is Studio 490 Digital Marketing. You can check out our website at uncommon.org. We have a ton of stuff. One of the pillars of Uncommon is around husbands, dads, leaders. So, you know, husbands, this would have its own pillar of content to focus on. And we have just an outrageous number of things related to this. So if you're going through something, check that out. I think that you'll be blessed with some of the content there.
Yeah.
So, Joshua, hit him with it.
If you're going to be something, be uncommon.
Amen.